You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
If you've got it, it stands out a mile.
Got it, it stands out a mile.
With mother of pearl kind of buttons.
You'll look like the Astors and Hutton.
You've either got or you haven't got class.
Not or you haven't got class.
How it draws the applause of the masses.
When you wear lapels like the swellest of swells, you can pass any mirror and smile.
You've either got or you haven't got
charm,
or you haven't got
charm.
Style and charm seem to go arm in arm.
They kinda go on and on.
A flower's not a flower if it's wilted. A hat's not a hat till it's tilted.
You've either got or you haven't got
style.
Style or you haven't got
style.
If you've got it, you stand out a
mile.
Watch those dolls lining up single file.
You'll be the gut or you haven't got
God, 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 or you
Music of the Stars. Good morning. We're on the air till high noon central. Julie London.
I was taken for a sleigh ride in July. Oh, I must a setup for a sight. A mockingbird was whistling a sentimental tune, and I didn't know enough to come in out of the moonlight. So the big romance was only make-believe, just a sleigh ride on a balmy summer eve. My dreams were safe all winter, and then to think that I was taken for a sleigh ride in. Thank you.
Music of the Stars. Julie London. Not too many songs about July. This is Souter Finnegan. Morning, everybody. Music at the Star. Harry Connick Jr. in concert on Broadway.
Let's fly down, maybe we could drive down. I'm talking about New Orleans. Oh man, that city sure is pretty. Historic scene.
We're not down in New Orleans.
You know what, sugar? I'ma take you, and I might even think about parading you down Bourbon Street. Oh, we'll see all the hot spots. We'll see all the big shots down on Bourbon Street. Come on. Ooh. Let's fly down, baby, we'll fly down to New Orleans. Ooh, that city sure is pretty, historic scene. Now you know that I will take you up, I parade you down Bourbon Street. Oh, we'll see your hot spots, we'll see all the big shots down Bourbon Street. We'll be right back.
Listen to the clarinet, at your feet are really gonna palpitate when you are marching around.
Marching around, wonderful sound.
I hear the rattle tap.
I love to hear the way the drummer does that.
Glorious day.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Out of my way.
Stand back and give me some air. I've got some rhythm to spare. We love swing high, swing low. Everybody rock to it.
Teresa Brewer, remember her? This is the Glenn Miller Army Air Force Band. Music of the Star. Starliner.
We must be vigilant, we must be vigilant, American patrol. With arms for the Army, ships for the Navy, let this be our goal.
must be diligent, we must be diligent, American patrol. Protect our shoreline to the doorline of every native soul. We need this solidarity, or else divided we will fall. It means the popularity of peace and happiness for all. Behind this cause we must keep rallying, let there be no dilly-dallying. Keep freedom dilly-shallying, hark to freedom's call. Hark to freedom's call, hark to freedom's call. On land, in the air, on sea, everywhere. You must be ready, must be steady in American patrol. Be sincere and persevere, let that be our goal. Call and give our all in the cause for right. We're in to win or lose our skin, show them how to fight. When born by the red, white and blue. When born by the red, white and blue. Five banners make tyranny tremble. When born by the red, white and blue. Keep on, must keep rallying, let there be no dilly-dallying. Keep free, dilly-shallying, let this be our goal in America, the draw.
Whatever we do, we're gonna go through it together. not go far, but sure as a star. Wherever we are, it's together.
Get something right.
Wherever I go, I know that he goes.
Wherever I go, I know that he goes.
No fits, no feuds, no fights, no egos.
Oh!
Amigos, together.
Through thick or through thin,
all out or all in.
And whether it's win, place, or show,
with you for me
and me for you,
we'll muddle through whatever we do
together, wherever we are.
Close-up of me, and a close-up of me,
a close-up of three all together,
a high note for me,
and a low note for me,
a two for me,
sung together.
Our singing won't win us any medallion,
more likely they'll smack us with scallions.
I'd rather face a dozen battalions than Italians.
Do it! Hey,
break it up together.
When trouble appears, stand off the fear like three musketeers in a row.
You say!
Oh, we may leave, but we'll return
like Maxine,
Maxine and Laverne
together wherever we go.
Bubbles man was
Lord Bass.
When I feel a pain,
and I feel a pain,
I will take Novocaine.
House!
Together!
If my stocks should fail,
bite your tongue,
and if my stocks should fail,
we'll all go to jail, but together.
As friends, we will share life's greatest chances.
Come!
I got here, the Everly Brothers?
Yes.
The setbacks as well as the advances.
Boo, 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 boo.
And will we share each other's romances?
Well, I've given all my old telephone numbers to Charlie Weaver.
Finances.
My bookmaker will love your business.
Ouch!
Too
thin and too thick.
To each we will stick.
My Timex will tick.
And we'll glow
inseparable like Oompa-pa,
like Eva,
Magda,
and Cha-Cha.
Together,
wherever we go.
I dance like paper, hit the clips.
I dance like Elvis, hit the hips.
Together. I'd like to do it for you and for the audience of your love network, but particularly to the home folk in Vegas, and for my lady and for little Sam and Big Mama.
I dreamed a dream in times gone by, when hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. But I was young and unafraid, and dreams were made and used and wasted. There was no ransom to be paid, no song unsung, no wine untasted. But the tigers come at night, with their voices soft as thunder, as they tear your hope apart, as they turn your dreams to shame. I slept a summer by her side. She filled my days with endless wonder. I took her childhood in my stride, and I was gone when autumn came. But still I dream she'll come to me, that we would live the years together. But there are dreams that cannot be, and there are storms we cannot weather. I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living, so different now from what it seems. But life has killed the dream I dream.
On a hot July night in 1776, Benjamin Franklin was aroused from his work by the call of destiny.
Hey, you in there, Ben?
Who's that, Sylvia?
It's the call of destiny.
Come on, take a look through the curtains there.
It's Tom Jefferson.
What, again? Well, it's no good. I'll have to let him in. I'm coming, I'm coming.
Hi, Ben.
Tom?
You got a minute?
Well, I tell you the truth, we were just going out of town for the weekend.
But it's only Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned.
Well, what does that got to do with anything, Franklin?
I don't know. It's the first thing came into my head. I was just making conversation. An idle brain is the devil's playground, you know.
So you're pretty good at that, aren't
you? Yeah, there's some new wise sayings I just made up.
Wise sayings?
Yeah, I call them wise sayings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what can I do for you?
Well, I got this petition here. I've been circulating around the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Kind of thought you'd like to sign it. It's called the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sounds a little suspect, if you ask me.
What do you mean, suspect?
Well, you're advocating the overthrow of the British government by force and violence, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but... we've had it with that royal jazz.
Who's we?
Well, all the guys.
Who's all the guys?
Oh, George, Jim Madison, Alex Hamilton, Johnny Adams. You know, all the guys.
The lunatic fringe.
Oh, they are not.
Bunch of wild-eyed radicals. Professional liberals. Don't kid me.
Oh, you call George Washington a wild-eyed radical?
Washington? I don't see his name on there.
No, but he promised to sign it.
Oh, yeah. That's George for you. Talks up a storm with them wooden teeth. Can't shut him off. When it comes time to put the name on the old parchment of Rooney, try and find him.
Hey, what are you so surly about today?
Surly to bed and surly to rise.
Oh, all right, all right. Let's knock off the one-line jokes and sign the petition. What do you say, huh, fella?
Well, let me skim down it here. When in the course of human events, so-and-so, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness...
That's pursuit of happiness.
Well, all your S's look like F's here.
No, it's stylish.
Oh, I see.
It's in. It's very in.
Oh, well, if it's in. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, so-and-so, solemnly publish and declare that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and so on. A little overboard, isn't it?
Well,
you write this?
Yeah, I knocked it out. It's just a first draft, you know.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, why don't you leave it with me and I'll mail it in, huh?
Oh, come on.
No, I tell you, Tom, let me say this. I'm with you in spirit. I'm sure you understand that, but, you know, I got to play it conservative. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I got the printing business going pretty good. Almanac made Book of the Month. And then I got the inventions, you know. Got pretty good distribution on the stoves now. And, of course, every Saturday evening, I bring out the mag.
The what?
Magazine.
Oh. Oh, that reminds me. That artist I sent by, did you look at his stuff?
You mean the Rockwell boy? Skinny kid with the pipe?
Yeah, that's a kid.
Yeah, I glanced at it. And he's too far out for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you got to play it safe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But getting back to the signing of the petition, how about it, huh?
Well,
it's a harmless paper.
Oh, sure, harmless. I know how these things happen. You go to a couple of harmless parties, sign a harmless petition, forget all about it. 10 years later, you get hauled up before a committee. No, thank you. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life writing in Europe.
Oh, come on.
Come on what?
Come on and put your name on the dotted line.
I got to be particular what I sign.
It's just a piece of paper.
Just a piece of paper, that's what you say.
Come on and put your signature on the list.
It looks to have a very subversive twist.
How silly to assume it. Won't you nom de plume it today? You're so skittish. Who possibly could care if you do?
The Un-British Activities Committee, that's who.
Let's have a little drinko and fill the quill.
It sounds a little pinko to me, but still.
Knock off the timid manner if you want a banner to ray.
Banner to ray.
You must take,
I must take,
a stand,
for this brave new land, who wants to live,
so
concerned,
vative,
I don't diss,
he don't diss,
agree,
agree,
but a man can't be too careful what he signs these days. If I sign it, will you renew your subscription?
Yeah, if you promise not to keep throwing it on the roof.
Well, my...
If it isn't on the roof, it's in the rose bushes or in the mud.
My eyesight isn't what it used to be, you know. Besides, it's hard to hit the porch from a horse.
Now, come on. All we want to do is hold a few truths to be self-evident.
You're sure it's not going to start a revolution or anything?
Trust me.
Okay, give it to me. You got a quill on you?
Yeah, here you are.
Look at that show-off Hancock, will you? Pretty flamboyant signature for an insurance man.
Ah, you did a good thing, Ben. You won't be sorry. Now, if I can just get another 3 or 4 guys, we'll be all set.
Well, I tell you one thing.
What's that?
You better get them to sign it in the next couple of days before they all take off for the 4th of July weekend.
The United States of America was born in 1776, but it was conceived 169 years before that. The earliest settlers had watered the New World with much sweat. They had built substantial holdings for themselves, for their families. And when the time came to separate themselves from a tyranny an ocean away, at best it meant starting all over again after the ravages of war. Researching what you're about to hear gave a whole new dimension to my reverence for our nation's first citizens. All others of the world's revolutions, before and since, were initiated by men who had nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Our founders had everything to lose and nothing to gain, except one thing. Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. You remember the cherry tree fiction. A long time after you have forgotten the more earth-shaking history-making episodes in the life of George Washington, you have misplaced in your memory the details of Ben Franklin's statesmanship, but you remember his flying a kite. Joyce Kilmer was a great military hero. But the only thing you personally recall about him is his poetic tribute to trees. Maybe of this current decade, that which will be remembered best will not be its wars and its moon rockets or its crumbling frontiers or the giants who lived and died. Maybe all that'll survive to linger in the day-by-day vocabulary of generations yet unborn may be the songs of a Memphis minstrel or the reincarnation of electric automobiles. But for any eve of the 4th of July, I, Paul Harvey, do herewith bequeath unto you something to remember. You may not be able to quote one line from the Declaration of Independence at this moment. Henceforth, you'll always be able to quote at least one line. It's in the last paragraph where you will recall when I remind you, it says, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." In the Pennsylvania State House that's now called Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the best men from each of the colonies sat down together. This was a very fortunate hour in our nation's history, one of those rare occasions in the lives of men when we had greatness to spare. These were men of means, well-educated, 24 were lawyers and jurists, 9 were farmers, owners of large plantations. On June 11, a committee sat down to draw up a Declaration of Independence. We were going to tell the British fatherland, no more rule by redcoats. Below the dam of ruthless foreign rule, the stream of freedom was running shallow and muddy. And we were going to light a fuse to dynamite that dam. This pact, as Burke later put it, was a partnership between the living and the dead and the yet unborn. There was no bigotry. There was no demagoguery in this group. All had shared hardships. Jefferson finished a draft of the document in 17 days. Congress adopted it in July, and so much is familiar history. But now, King George III had denounced all rebels in America as traitors. Punishment for treason was hanging. The names now so familiar to you from the several signatures on that Declaration of Independence, the names were kept secret for 6 months for each knew the full meaning of that magnificent last paragraph in which his signature pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. 56 men placed their names beneath that pledge. 56 men knew when they signed that they were risking everything. They knew if they won this fight, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling nation. And if they lost, they'd face a hangman's rope. But they signed the pledge. And here is the documented fate of that gallant 56. Carter Braxton of Virginia, wealthy planter, trader, saw his ships swept from the seas. To pay his debts, he lost his home and all of his properties and died in rags. Thomas Lynch, Jr., who signed that pledge, was a third-generation rice grower, aristocrat, large plantation owner. After he signed, his health failed. His wife and he set out for France to regain his failing health. Their ship never got to France, was never heard from again. Thomas McKean of Delaware was so harassed by the enemy that he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay, his family in poverty and in hiding. Vandals looted the properties of Ellery and Clymer and Hall and Gwinnett and Walton and Hayward and Rutledge and Middleton. Thomas Nelson, Jr. of Virginia, raised $2 million on his own signature to provision our allies, the French fleet. After the war, he personally paid back the loans, wiped out his entire estate, and he was never reimbursed by his government. In the final battle for Yorktown, he, Nelson, urged General Washington to fire on his, Nelson's, own home, which was occupied by Cornwallis. It was destroyed. Thomas Nelson, Jr. had pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. The Hessians seized the home of Francis Hopkinson of New Jersey. Francis Lewis had his home and everything destroyed, his wife imprisoned. She died within a few months. Richard Stockton, who signed that declaration, was captured, mistreated, his health broken to the extent that he died at 51. His estate was pillaged. Thomas Hayward, Jr. was captured when Charleston fell. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled in all directions for their lives. His fields and grist mill were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves and returned home after the war to find his wife dead, his children gone, his properties gone. And he died a few weeks later of exhaustion and a broken heart. Lewis Morris saw his land destroyed, his family scattered. Philip Livingston died within a few months from the hardships of the war. John Hancock, history remembers best due to a quirk of fate rather than anything he stood for, that great sweeping signature attesting to his vanity, towers over the others, one of the wealthiest men in New England. And yet he stood outside Boston one terrible night of the war, and he said, "Burn Boston, though it makes John Hancock a beggar, if the public good requires it."
By God, I have had this Congress. For 10 years, King George and his Parliament have gulled, cullied, and diddled these colonies, and still this Congress refuses to grant any of my proposals on independence, even so much as the courtesy of open debate. Good God, what in hell are they waiting for?
Sit down, John, sit down.
Independence,
say. Somebody open up a window.
I say vote yes.
Sit down, John.
Vote for independence, say.
Somebody open up a window.
No, no, no. Too many flies. Too many flies.
But it's hot as hell. We've got a girl. We are.
Somebody open up a window. Can we compromise here?
Vote yes.
No, too many flies here.
Vote yes.
Oh, for God's sake.
Consider yourselves fortunate that you have John Adams to abuse, for no sane man would tolerate it!
John, you're a bore. We've heard this before. Now for God's sake, John, sit down!
I say vote yes.
No!
Vote yes.
No!
Vote for independence, sake.
Someone ought to open up a window!
I say vote yes.
Sit down, John!
Vote for independence, sake.
Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardships or from its more merciful bullets. I don't know what impression you had of the men who met that summer in Philadelphia. But I think it's important that we remember this about them. They were not poor men. They were not wild-eyed pirates. These were men of means. They were rich men, most of them, and had enjoyed much ease and luxury in their personal living. Not hungry men, certainly not terrorists, not irresponsible malcontents, not fanatical incendiaries. These men were prosperous men, wealthy landowners. They were substantially secure in their prosperity. They had everything to lose. But they considered liberty, and this is as much as I shall say of it, they had learned that liberty is so much more important than security, that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they fulfilled their pledge. They paid the price. And freedom was born.
Mr. Secretary, is the declaration ready to be signed?
It is.
Very well. Call the roll.
New Hampshire, Dr. Josiah Bartlett. Massachusetts, Mr. John Adams. Rhode Island, Mr. Stephen Hopkins. Connecticut, Mr. Roger Sherman. New York, Mr. Lewis Morris. New Jersey, the Reverend Jonathan Witherspoon. Pennsylvania, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. Delaware, Mr. Caesar Rodney. Maryland, Mr. Samuel Chase. Virginia, Mr. Thomas Jefferson. North Carolina, Mr. Joseph Hughes. South Carolina, Mr. Edward Bradley. Georgia, Dr. Lyman Hall.
The Music of the Stars returns in 5 minutes.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.